And welcome to another edition of the Mojo Break Dugout Session, our postseason preview. Baseball playoffs are upon us, Doug, and look, we're both Giants fans, so maybe a little bit disappointed that our team is not in it, but even after a weird abbreviated 60-game season, I'm really stoked for what's going to be an exciting week of baseball. It's going to be like March Madness baseball style. I'm pumped for it. I can't wait.
Yeah, baseball playoffs is always when I tune in the most, and I hang on every game because it's just such a different scenario. I know we had a weird year with COVID, only a 60-game season, but now we have expanded playoffs. It's something new, something shiny, and I am stoked for postseason baseball.
Yeah, I'm really stoked for it. I will say this. We talked about it a little bit this season, how MLB apparently wants to implement this style of postseason. As if you're watching us on video, you can see the bracket there, a March Madness style, if you will, baseball playoff. But I'm gonna take a guess, because it's a three-game series. A lot of things can happen in a three-game series. You know, throughout a regular season, the best team can lose to the worst team in a three-game series. It's not a crazy thing. So there's almost certainly going to be an upset here, and I bet the moment that, let's say, a Los Angeles Dodgers or Chicago Cubs or the New York Yankees is kicked out in two games from a postseason series due to this new wild card format, I think MLB might start to shy away from this format and say, you know what, five games was fine for that first series. That's fine. We could just do that.
Yeah, I agree, and I think even more so this year because it was a 60-game season. So if you look at a 162-game season, you know, usually the team that had the first 60 games in the lead is not the team that ends up at the end of the season with the best record. So I think that is prime for some upsets this year, and I have a few in mind right off the bat.
Yeah, I think pitching is more important than ever. I am a big believer that pitching in the postseason is what gets you rings. It's if you look at the past 10 championships, almost every single one, there was at least a great pitching performance or multiple great pitching performances that propelled them to a World Series title. That is what wins in October. So what we're going to do is we are going to break down each postseason series and, of course, give you the perspective from the hobby, for the card collector. Which guy from the series should you be keeping an eye on? Maybe there are already some guys you have in mind. Who maybe is that next player, a la Juan Soto from 2019, who could make that leap and become that superstar player, go from a guy who's highly sought after to the most sought after guy? And then we'll wrap things up today by looking at the all rookie class of Major League Baseball players this season and which guys you should be keeping an eye on. But let's start in the postseason. We're going to start in the American League, and you've got the top seeded Tampa Bay Rays taking on the surprisingly good Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays, who have had the lineage of baseball history over the last 25 years on their team. Vlad Guerrero Jr., Kevon Biggio, Bo Bichette, all these guys now healthy, ready to roll in the postseason, about a year or two ahead of schedule, versus the Tampa Bay Rays, just steady as she goes in Tampa Bay. I think the guy to point out for them is that pitching staff, and specifically the guy that, if you're watching us, you see pictured is the pitcher, Tyler Glasnow, in his last seven starts, 5-0, 64 strikeouts compared to just 12 walks, an ERA of 3. He pitched like an ace last year. He's looking like an ace right now. He is coming into form at the right time. For Tampa Bay, a guy who's coming into form right now at the right time, Vlad Guerrero Jr. In his last 15 games, .315 batting average and a .593 slugging percentage and 3 home runs over those last 15 outings.
Yep. This is my upset right here. Wow. I as much as I love Tyler Glasnow, who his cards, you can find him as a Pirate prospect, I'm a big fan of the Blue Jays, and I just think that the star power and the power is going to beat the pitching here. So I that's going to be my upset. I think it's going to go 3, but I think the Buffalo Blue Jays are moving on.
Yeah, there's so much young power on this team, and especially I'm sure for not only collectors but Major League Baseball would love to see these guys on display for as long as possible. No disrespect to the Tampa Bay Rays, the only team with 40 wins in the American League. They are about as balanced a team as there is in baseball, but the fact is you want to see Vlad Guerrero Jr. Bo Bichette. You want to see those guys on the main stage. The guys who have been the producers for them, Teoscar Hernandez has been a guy who has been a huge contributor to them. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has been a big contributor. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think that they want Toronto to be the team that moves on here. I'm going to also point out Nate Pearson, a top prospect for Toronto. He's healthy again. I don't think he's going to be a starter this postseason. Want to keep the innings down, but he was throwing 101 out of the bullpen when he came back. I could see him like when David Price helped propel the same Tampa Bay Rays to the World Series as a closer, Adam Wainwright early in his career. I could see Nate Pearson coming into his own in that sort of role if the Blue Jays go far. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to go far. I think Tampa Bay's got this series in two games.
With the three batter rule too, I mean, this is going to change how, you know, the management happens too. So, yeah. I mean, you've got to look, I got a righty, but they've got next inning, they got two lefties and righty, you know, so like that, you know, you can't just be the Bruce Bochy and be like one guy, right? Yeah. So that is going to kind of completely change how this postseason's run. And I think, you know, you're going to have to look at some of the better managers as well. Maybe guys that have already been there that can kind of adapt to the situation.
Yeah, that's why, by the way, I think Bruce Bochy saw the writing on the wall and said, yeah, I'm out of here. This is not my game anymore. That is why I think I trust the Rays and Kevin Cash, who has become one of the most underrated managers in baseball. I like the top three pitchers they've got. They're a really good team, and I think they're going to go have a nice deep run here in the postseason. Toronto, great story. I think they're about a year or two away. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the next matchup in the AL wildcard round. This is one of the most intriguing matchups, I think, of the entire first round of the playoffs. The New York Yankees, the heavy favorites by a lot of people to win the World Series at the beginning of the year, really scuffled about midseason, have kind of come into their own, picked up the pieces. They're getting healthy at the right time. For them, DJ LeMahieu has been the guy, the batting champion in the America League, and a few years ago in the National League, he's the first guy to ever do that in the modern era, and he's doing it for the Yankees and for the Cleveland Indians. They may have the Cy Young and the MVP on the same team, and it might be the same guy. Shane Bieber had a phenomenal season. We talked about him at the beginning of the year. We're talking about him at the end of the year. The fastest pitcher ever to 100 strikeouts. I did the math. I'm not a math major, so forgive me if I got the math wrong here. But if he had a full season, he was on pace for 33 starts and 335 strikeouts. That would have been the most since Randy Johnson back in 2002, and that would have been 11 more or 9 more than Gerrit Cole's 326 last season. Oh, yeah, on top of it all, Jose Ramirez, by many metrics, the best offensive player in baseball this season. I think this is another one where I'm not going to so much call it an upset, but at the beginning of the year, if you said Cleveland Indians or the New York Yankees, I think most people would have said the Yankees. But to me, I'm taking Cleveland and that pitching staff.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to go against the Indians, but I'm going, you can see my trend, I'm going power. Bowman, 2013 Bowman, Aaron Judge, I would be kind of keep an eye on those. He's got a lot of rookie cards in the 2017 season of cards. That was when he kind of popped out as far as a rookie. His first Bowman's 2013, his first rookie cards were in 2017, so I would keep an eye on that as far as an investment standpoint. Maybe there's some regular Topps rookies that you can get in, or some Topps Chromes that you can get in, but I'm going the Yankees. I think power. You can see their run differential. It's almost up there with the Rays there. So, you know, pitching needs to kind of work itself out. But, I mean, if you're scoring 15 runs a game, I think you're going to go ahead and win some series.
And when you've got Gerrit Cole, I mean, they did not get Gerrit Cole for the regular season. They got him for this. If they can steal that game one where, man, oh, man, Gerrit Cole versus Shane Bieber game one.
Wow.
How about that for a marquee matchup? Wow. If they can take that game, then that's what they got him for. But for me, yes, Shane Bieber obviously is the guy, and the Yankees have to get past him. But then if they get past him, they still have to go through Carlos Carrasco, had a great year. They still have to get through Zach Plesac, who came together after that whole Mike Clevenger night out fiasco. And they've got other pieces. Tristan McKenzie's a guy I've talked about before. I think he's an electric pitcher, a guy that I think will come out of the bullpen like Nate Pearson will and provide some innings and be an interesting young guy to keep an eye on. So I love the pitching of Cleveland, so that's why I got to go with them.
Absolutely.
And next series up, we're going away from pitching. We're going with some power with the Minnesota Twins. I don't know if you saw it over the last couple weeks. I think Josh Donaldson, and some Twins fans can correct me if I'm wrong here, Josh Donaldson gifted a lot of the players these nice, like, velvet robes that they were all wearing with their number and their name on the back. And then Nelson Cruz decided, I'm going to wear this robe in the dugout after he hit a home run. And then it became like a little tradition over the last couple of weeks here. So the Twins are feeling it. They feel like they are as good as any team in baseball, and they absolutely should. Nelson Cruz had a great year, the ageless wonder. But the pitching has also been a really good story. Kenta Maeda has been the ace of that staff, and in many other years where there's no Shane Bieber, he may be the Cy Young favorite. Plus, Michael Pineda, remember that guy? He is back and healthy. Rich Hill, another ageless wonder, he's pitching really well for them as well. And then you've got the Houston Astros, who are now one of two teams in Major League Baseball history to make the postseason with a losing record. Feels like a fitting tribute to them after what happened over the offseason. They still make it in, but there's really nothing that jumps out about them. Zach Greinke has been the only guy that's been stable on that staff, and he's even had an up-and-down year. Kyle Tucker has looked impressive. The rest of that offense, though, Jose Altuve, a career worst year. I don't want to say that Houston is dead on arrival, but I'm just seeing a team with energy and that's having fun versus a team that's grinding and just kind of backed into the postseason.
Yeah, it feels like the Twins don't have a lot of pressure, you know? I mean, no. Where the Astros absolutely do, and you could see all of their batting averages have gone down significantly compared to where they were at last year during the trash can gate. And I can't see a lot of people picking the Astros. A lot of people are just expecting them to go two games and be done. And I think that will make a lot of people happy.
Yeah, it absolutely will. Now, I'm not going to totally count them out because, yes, of course, there's the cheating scandals and all that, but there is still postseason experience there. I'm not going to put it all on that's the only reason they won. This is still a really talented team with a lot of really talented guys who came up through that system. Before all the cheating stuff, we all said there's so much talent here. There is. I just don't quite think it's their year, obviously, with everything going on. Mm-hmm. And I think Minnesota is just feeling it. They've got a lot of really good talent there, a ton of power, a very good pitching staff. And a guy to watch for me, Byron Buxton, the former super prospect, the guy that everybody thought was going to be the next big thing in baseball. And he still has some years where he can put it together. He's just 26. How about this, though, since he's come off the injured list in the month of September at 62 at-bats, 8 home runs for Byron Buxton in the month of September. That's not what we expected from this guy. So he actually hit for power. We know the speed. We know the defense. This is the type of guy that you put him at the top of that lineup, and you know what the other guys can do. Man, sky's the limit, I think, for Minnesota.
And ironically, it was Buxton and Correa that were part of
– that's right.
I think it's either 13 or 14 Bowman. I'm sorry, I was trying to find it real quick, but they were the two prospects to get when that product came out, and ironically they're playing each other now. Everybody kind of wrote off Buxton. He was supposed to be a five-tool player. At times he was really only showing the glove and the speed, wasn't really hitting for average, wasn't hitting for any power at all. He started to turn it around. I mean, he's had a lot of chances. I'm surprised the Twins have stuck with him for so long. I mean, he was their number one prospect. And the Twins, I mean, when was the last time we really talked about the Twins? I feel like it's they've had their runs, but I feel like it's like since Kirby Puckett, rest in peace. But, you know, it's been a while since the Twins have been on the radar. And I think I almost feel like the Twins are America's team in this playoff, at least for this series.
Yeah, the Mauer Morneau era, which had a lot of success. Torrey Hunter in that era as well, obviously. A lot of success, but they always ran into the Yankees. They could never beat them. I think going into Saturday, they were still set to play the Yankees, and they're probably like, oh, God, not again.
And did they lose to the Braves in the World Series, I believe, one year?
No, they beat the Braves.
They beat the Braves, okay. Yeah, the Braves lost.
They have not been back to the World Series ever since. And you could say, I believe that many years later we found out that one of the grounds crew there who held his job was to work on the air conditioning, apparently in the seventh and eighth innings of pivotal games, turned down the AC. So it was a little chillier for visiting teams. A cheating scandal of their own. Nobody is safe here in Major League Baseball.
To change the subject here, but I was looking at where they're having the games, and I you know, obviously it looks like they planned it where nobody's going to really have a home game. Is that correct? I mean,
it's only so in the first round here. If you're not familiar with how they're going to do this, the wild card games will be played at the higher seeds home ballpark. So in this case, Minnesota will be hosting Houston, and that's how they're going to do it for the first round. And then after that, the American League is going to be playing in California at Dodger Stadium and Petco Park. In the National League, we'll be playing in Texas. They'll be playing at the new Globe Life Life Field and Minute Maid Park, with the World Series being a Globe Life Field. So, yeah, once we get to the division and the championship,
yeah, it doesn't
rounds,
look like there's any chance that anybody has a home game there, which is right. I don't know if that was planned out that way, but obviously Texas didn't make the playoffs, so they won't be able to play the World Series at their own home stadium. But it's kind of interesting being in this COVID era where we're kind of moving and shaking here.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what happens, and we'll talk about it as we get closer to it. But apparently the plan for Major League Baseball is to have at least some fans when the World Series arrives in Texas. Should be an interesting prospect. Let's move on to the final American League series. And to me, other than that Yankees-Cleveland series, the other most intriguing series here, the Oakland A's, who they were just kind of steady as she goes as well. They had a really hot start to the season, and they have some power in that lineup. Matt Olson, Matt Chapman, who unfortunately for Chapman, season-ending injury about a few weeks ago. That was a really devastating blow for their chances, but the best bullpen in baseball by far, an excellent bullpen. Chris Bassett has become something of an ace for the Oakland A's, and Jesus Luzardo, the rookie, has looked very good at times. So I think there's a lot of confidence in Oakland, and there was a lot of confidence on the south side of Chicago for the Chicago White Sox, another one of those teams that, especially for collectors, have been keeping an eye on all season long and for many years now, and here they are in the postseason. At one point, I think they looked like the best team in baseball. They had the pitching. The offense was just lights out. They kind of backed into the postseason here. Luis Robert really slowed down at the end of the year. Jose Abreu put up MVP numbers. Eloy Jimenez, though, got injured in the last series of the last weekend series of the season. His status is up in the air, but a really exciting team. I think when they are playing right, I think they're as good as any team in baseball. This is a hard one for me.
It is, and I think A's were my pick for the beginning of the year, so I'm going to stick with that. But and I looked at the, you know, basically the White Sox are 2-8 in their last 10, so they kind of slid into the playoffs. It doesn't feel like they have a whole lot of momentum going into it. I feel like the A's are hungrier than ever. They may be looking at it like, hey, we've been playing one-game series, elimination games for the last couple of years. We can kind of relax a little bit and got a three-game series. So I think the A's do take this, which goes against my power versus pitching and the other predictions that I've done. But I do think the A's are a little bit more balanced and a little bit more seasoned than these White Sox, these guys, Eloy, Luis Robert, which I think the White Sox are going to be one of those teams that are going to be around for years, and they're going to probably going to be talking about them being the top team in a few years. But I think right now they're going to take their lumps, they're going to learn, and I think the A's move through.
Yeah, I think the A's are the team to pick here, although I think it gets pushed to three games, and I think they buck the trend of the Billy Bean era. I believe it's some incredible stat where in 16 chances to move on to the next round of the postseason, the A's have only one win in the
Billy
Bean
era. Yeah, I mean, the odds say it's going to go the other way. Yeah. I mean, at some point. So.
But I believe in the bullpen. I believe in the pitching here. Mike Minor has had some nice starts here and there for the A's since being acquired from Texas. I think there is enough pitching here. And I think that the White Sox, yeah, they're a really young team. And I think at this point in the season, the way that they've been playing, it's just kind of, it might be time to pack it up. And you know what? Yeah, like you said, take your lumps, learn from it. This is not a team going anywhere. And I think that the American League Central is absolutely up for grabs with guys on the Twins getting older, with Cleveland having some budget issues and maybe not being able to afford some of these big names that are with the team right now. The window is open for the White Sox. This is just step one of a long process where they're going to be a contender for many years. Very much, again, cheating aside, very much reminds me of, what was it, the 2015 Houston Astros when they played the Kansas City Royals and really gave them a hard time, but then the Royals eventually were able to get past them. And it was that first step for the Astros where it was like, this is the sign of things to come. Don't worry. This is, you got to get some losses in before you can start making your way up that peak into the top of baseball glory. The one guy I do think is a pivotal player in the series is Yoan Moncada. Another guy who was the top prospect in all of baseball and really put it all together last year, looked like he was on the fast track to becoming one of baseball's best players, had a rough season this year. He did have a nice stretch in his last five games, a 995 OPS over his last five, but overall this season a 705 OPS in 52 games. One of the few guys who really didn't click this season with the White Sox in a year where everything seemed to go right. If he can put it together and have a nice postseason, he's still what? He's 24, 25. Mm-hmm. He's still really young. It feels like we've been talking about him forever, but that's a guy I think to really keep an eye on.
And as I'm looking at this, it looks like each league has their own day. So tomorrow being Tuesday, we're filming this on Monday. You may be watching it on Tuesday, the 29th. We are going to have all of these games. I mean, how are they starting them at 10 a.m.?
So
I mean,
all American League for day one, and then get ready, park yourself on the couch for day two. All eight series will be, all of them are going to be going on. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have, and they're going to be on primetime. It's like for the first time in like 30 years, there's going to be games on ABC because ESPN has the wild card rights. So they're just like, we don't have enough room. They had to throw some on ABC in the middle of the day. So it's going to be really fun. I this is the one thing about it that I'm really excited about is just the amount of meaningful baseball we're going to get. Now,
it looks like they're kind of navigating through the NFL. Obviously, they're I'm assuming there might be some games on Thursday.
And the NBA Finals as well, which is going to be aired on NBC, or ABC, I should say, very shortly. So there's a lot of things going on right now that they're going to have to sort of schedule around so they get as many eyes as possible. But it's going to be fun if you're a baseball fan, absolutely. Let's move on to the National League, where we got another team. Here's that second team that did not have a winning record to enter the postseason, the Milwaukee Brewers. But let's talk first about the Los Angeles Dodgers, who historically – I mean, you make this into a 162-game season. The pace they were on was historic. This is, without a doubt, the best team in baseball. It's not even really close. They are the best team in baseball. They have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. Clayton Kershaw looked like he aged about 5 years backwards and looks like the ace that he once was. Not that he was bad in his last couple of years. They've got a ton of great young pitching. Urias, Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin, young pitchers who have really stepped it up. And, oh, yeah, they got this guy Walker Buehler, who may be the next great pitcher in all of baseball. On top of that, Mookie Betts, Corey Seager had MVP-caliber years. And then you got the Milwaukee Brewers, who backed into the postseason, have been postseason factors for the last few years, thanks in part to Christian Yelich, who has flourished and become one of the best hitters in baseball, but not this year. Last week, we talked about some of the most disappointing players in baseball, and I failed to mention the most disappointing player in baseball. It is Christian Yelich, who never figured it out at the plate, an MVP candidate who just couldn't put it together at any point. I think he had an OPS around 700, which is just not what you want from him. The one bright light for them, Corbin Burnes, a guy who had a 9 ERA last year, is now among the league leaders. If not, I have to double check. Might have been the league leader in ERA. If not, I think it's Trevor Bauer. But nonetheless, quite a story for Milwaukee. Just trying to give him some positive notes because, look, this should be a slam dunk for the Dodgers.
I mean, one thing that to keep in mind, and obviously I'm a Giants fan, so I'm trying not to use my hatred for the team over there in Southern California, but you mentioned that the Christian Yelich had a terrible year. I mean, the Brewers probably in any other year wouldn't be in the playoffs, but I feel like they're playing with house money. Like, they can go out there and nobody's expecting them to win, whether it's the complete opposite on the other side. The Dodger fans, World Series championship or bust. I mean, so there is a lot of pressure. We know Kershaw and pressure, usually not in the first round, but, you know, usually later on. But I was actually just looking at some stats, and Christian Yelich is batting 500 against Kershaw in 18 at-bats, and a small sample size, wow. 9 hits, 2 home runs. He's actually batting 714 against Kenley Jansen. So, I mean, maybe this is the time that he's like going to wipe away the 200 batting average.
Time to get right.
And it's, you know, it's a new season for him. And, you know, like I said, they don't have anything to really play for. They're not expected to win. So I'm not saying there's going to be an upset, but I think it'd be closer than people think.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that's the other thing I was going to say is that with these three-game series, as mentioned, anything is possible. Anything can happen here. And if the Dodgers were to lose this series, I'm not sure I would put it the biggest upset in playoff history just because of the nature of this series.
Got built-in excuses, too.
But boy, oh boy, would it be quite a failure, much bigger than last year against the Nationals, who the Nationals were on fire going into the playoffs. So it wasn't the craziest thing in the world to me that they were able to beat the Dodgers in 5 games. I always will take the hot hand, but Well, and right now the hot hand is the Dodgers.
Especially if they lose this week, that LA's got the Lakers still playing, so it's going to be like, nah. That's the Lakers true. Still.
If there's any time for this to happen, I guess, where you can kind of just fade away and no one even thinks about it, it would be when the NBA Finals are suddenly in October. Maybe not a bad chance to, if you're going to.
But, you start going into the World Series and it happens again. Now the finals are already done, and now it's all eyes on the Dodgers.
Man, how about being an LA sports fan this month where you've got the NBA Finals, and if the Dodgers can make it where the NBA Finals ends and maybe the Lakers are champions, and then the World Series begins almost immediately afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy. Pretty good. Yeah, I think this is the Dodgers. It should be the Dodgers in slam dunk. Will Smith is a guy I think to keep an eye on. Not that Will Smith, not the actor, and not the one on the Braves. There's three Will Smiths that we have.
Or the former Giant.
Yeah, exactly. There's too many Will Smiths to balance right now, but keep an eye on this guy, a 25-year-old catcher. He is the starting catcher now for sure for the Dodgers. 18 games in September, a 1.048 OPS, 348 batting average, 427 on base percentage. This guy's the real deal. There's so many great young players in LA, it's hard to keep track, but keep an eye on that guy for this series. Our next series in the National League, the San Diego Padres are back in the playoffs. One of the most exciting teams in Major League Baseball. So much great young talent. Fernando Tatis, maybe the most exciting young player in baseball. Manny Machado had a great month and a half to end the season. He's probably your MVP at this point. He took it away from Fernando Tatis. But, boy, baseball's a funny game, isn't it? Because I was saying, man, this Cardinal team just kind of flew under the radar. And, obviously, the COVID stuff happened where they missed so much time. They played two games less than anybody else in baseball because of this. And I thought, you know what this team reminds me of? The 2006 Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Who did the 2006 Cardinals play in the first round of the playoffs? Why, the San Diego Padres, who were the heavily favored San Diego Padres back in 2006. Oh, no, if you're San Diego. No, don't let history repeat itself. I don't think it will, but I'm never, ever going to discount the Cardinals. And Adam Wainwright suddenly is pitching like an ace at 39 years old. I think he may have turned 40 this year. So good for him for keeping it up and for a few years where it looked like his career was over. I'm still going with the Padres, but the Mike Clevenger injury worries me. The pitching depth worries me a little bit, although the bullpen is much better with Trevor Rosenthal there. And the Cardinals, this has nothing to do with any statistical analysis or anything. Whenever I don't think about the Cardinals as a factor is exactly when they are a mm-hmm. factor in the playoffs. Same with 2011, where I thought, the Cardinals are in. No big deal. There's better teams than them. And then, lo and behold, they won the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, one thing to keep in mind, too, from a card perspective is Manny Machado's cards, 2010 Bowman Chrome Draft. And, obviously he's pictured on an Oriole because that's the organization he got brought up with. But you're starting – some of his autographs, first Bowman autographs, are hanging around $200-$300. I mean, this guy's electric. Crazy. He could go 4-for-4, two home runs. Maybe hit a cycle in one of these playoff games and everybody's going to be watching. So I think there's some room for growth there. And maybe if it's not necessarily his Bowman Chrome, maybe – navigate through some of his other cards. He does have that kind of a-hole stigma about him that I think kind of prevents him from being like a Mike Trout to this hobby. But, if he's out there performing, I think it's going to be hard to not notice. And I think it could be a situation where you get his cards. They beat the Cardinals. I'm picking the Padres to beat the Cardinals. And, him and Tatis are just – they're getting the limelight.
Yeah, I think that this is one of those series where I could see the Cardinals actually upsetting the Padres in game one, but then the Padres taking the next two after that. And for Machado, that's such an easy buy to me. If you've got the money lying around to do that sort of purchase right now to get a Manny Machado, first Bowman auto right now, he could win the MVP. That team could be in the World Series. The sky is the limit for Absolutely. This guy. He's still what? You think he's just turned 30? So there's still a ton of prime years there with a good team in an exciting place, an exciting young team with a lot of great talent around him. That, to me, that's easy.
Absolutely.
And one of those young talent that I also would keep an eye on, mentioned him at the beginning of the season. His value has only gone up. Trent Grisham, fun young player. I think he ends up hitting 10 home runs this year. I love that he does a little sign language of how many home runs he's hit when he's going around the base paths. He's a fun player, exciting to watch, and with an exciting young lineup all around him. I think he's one of those guys that we're all focusing on Machado. We're all focusing, hell, Will Myers had a fantastic year, and we're focusing on Tatis. Grisham, to me, a guy who could be an X factor in this series.
And you know, we normally don't talk about this on this show, but after watching the Giants play the Padres again for this final weekend here, I was like, you know, the Padres unis are kind of cool, man.
I mean, the
light brown with the pinstripe, you know, it's pretty clean.
I like to collect other baseball team hats. It's something I do. There are certain hats I don't usually get. I don't usually get teams that play within the same division as my favorite team, the Giants. I think I'm breaking that rule for that brown Padres hat. I just love it so much. It's such a good, clean look.
Yeah, and then there's some of the throwbacks they've worn, like the Tony Gwynn era, like young Tony Gwynn era.
Should have gone back to this look so long ago. I don't know why they went with that sort of everybody's blue and white, you know? It's kind of a boring look. Nobody is brown and yellow, and it's such a unique striking
look. It is.
Anyway, no surprise.
I mean, they could get a sponsorship from UPS, too.
There you go. Exactly. It's all it took to become relevant again. Go back to the Browns. That's all you need. What can Brown do for you?
Well, right.
Let's move on. You want to talk about another series that is going to bring back some bad memories to one of the teams. Cubs-Marlins. Where have I heard that before?
Where's Bartman at?
The Bartman Revenge Series is here for Cubs fans. I know they got the World Series already. That should be the monkey should be off their back, right? Well, not so fast. I think this is where you truly exercise those demons of years past. Of course, the Miami Marlins, nobody expected them to be here. Another team plagued by COVID early in the season, missed almost a week and a half of play, and then sort of rallied around it. Rallied around the fact that half that team were guys who weren't supposed to be there. At one point, there was like a speed skater on the team, and really showed a lot of grit, a lot of determination, and makes the postseason for the first time since they played the Cubs in that 2003 postseason. As for the Cubs, a team that, if you look at how they got here, it's kind of a head scratcher. Chris Bryant didn't do well. Anthony Rizzo didn't do well. Javier Baez didn't do well. So how'd they get here? Yu Darvish has a Cy Young caliber season. Kyle Hendricks, not far behind him. Ian Happ and Jason Hayward were actually the two best hitters on this team. They also went into the playoffs hot. Chris Bryant was starting to swing the bat well as they entered the postseason. So I'm not going to say the Cubs are a dark horse here to make a run, but I certainly think they get out of this first series.
Yeah.
Although I think the Marlins do give them a fight here.
Yeah, I mean, I can't go against the Cubs either. I've always been a fan kind of the Cubs, you know, visiting their stadiums, amazing, the history, the Ivy, all that stuff. And I've met Chris Bryant several times, too, and he's just one of the nicest guys, like, ever. Like, I think he goes home and watches Disney movies. He's just a really wholesome type of guy. You know, so I'm rooting for the Cubs. And, I think it's going to be a pretty easy series for the Cubs. I think those guys have all the experience. Their main guys have been there. And this is just another day at work in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think there is also a bit of the chip on the shoulder effect here where, I mean, after 2016, it wasn't a question of, what a great World Series. Enjoy this one. People were talking about this team like, here we go, the next dynasty in baseball. Before the Astros, where I feel like the Astros kind of took that the next year of this is the next dynasty in baseball. Everybody was saying the Cubs are baseball's next dynasty. These guys are young. They're going to be here for a while. They've got a great GM, and they've kind of just fallen flat the last few years. So I think there is something to prove for a lot of these guys. Obviously for you, Darvish, with all of what happened with him connected with the Astros as well when he was on the Dodgers. I think there's a lot for him to prove in the postseason. I will mention for the Marlins, they have three great young pitchers, Pablo Lopez, Sandy Alcantara, and Sixto Sanchez, all of them with ERAs in the mid to low threes. All of them, the oldest pitcher of that group is 25. So those are three guys who are going to be there for a while. This is not a moment. This isn't as fluky as it seems with Miami. This might be the beginning of something here, especially when you've got three guys all in their mid-20s who are here. They've arrived. They look good. They look impressive. Sixto Sanchez is a guy I really have been impressed by. It'll be interesting to see. I think that's the one game I could see Miami stealing here is the game he pitches. But I think ultimately the Cubs have more talent. They have more experience, and they have more pitching. I think they take this series
and
pretty
easily. One tidbit I thought about pitching too is you, one thing that you don't kind of think about because it was a 60 game season is these guys, these pitchers have like half the normal amount of wear on their arms.
They are fresh right now.
Exactly. So you got that scenario where maybe like, what if like Darvish is pitching and he's up to 100 pitches? Like, they're probably like, well, just keep him going. He's effective, right?
And you're already feeling like that in a regular postseason anyway, right, for a lot of guys. Yeah.
Right. So now it's like these managers know, hey, well, normally they're already past, you know, X amount of innings, and we're not even close to that. So it'd be interesting to see how the strategy goes to the pitching side. Like, maybe if we have a, you know, a, like a, like a, we were talking about the Bieber matchup with Cole. Like, you know, I know Cole's had some injuries, but, you know, it's like a one-to-one game in the ninth, and they've only thrown like 100 pitches. You know, like, are you just going to like keep them going because you don't have to really worry about as much wear and tear, especially if they're a guy that's been through many seasons of baseball. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, Doug, my picks have mostly been chalk right now. They've been pretty much who you expect. Maybe Cleveland was going out on a bit of a limb, but even that feels like a safe choice among upsets. Here we go. Upset alert. I love the Cincinnati Reds in this series against the Atlanta Braves. I know the Braves are the number two seed in the National
League. I feel like they're a quiet number two. I don't know what it is.
Very quiet number two. I think part of it is because it's all guys you expected to do well. Mm-hmm. Oh, Freddie Freeman's having an MVP year. He might be the MVP. Ronald Acuna figured it out, and he's having an MVP caliber year. Ozzy Albies looks good. Oh, okay. It's the same old for the Braves. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. Kind of like, oh, I don't know, all those years they went to the playoffs for 20, 25 straight years where you didn't think about them because you just knew once they got to the playoffs, it all would fall apart.
You know, Freddie Freeman's one of those guys. You know, he's been in the league since, I think, 2011. So he's been part of that team forever.
Might be the most underrated player of
baseball. He might. I feel like he's like the same category as like a Joey Votto, where, you know, he's doing the job every day, but it's just like nobody really notices it. And then you have like Acuna that comes around. Everybody's going to buy the Acuna jersey. Yep. But what about Freddie Freeman? He's been there. Yep. Or like David Wright, you know, when he was doing well for the Mets and he was, you know, Captain America, they called him. It's like in the hobby, it's like people really like, yeah, it's David Wright. Eh, it's Joey Votto. Yeah. Eh, it's Freddie Freeman. I don't know why. It just feels like that. Obviously, you know, solid players, potential Hall of Famers, but it's just like there's not like, I don't know. It's just like they just do their job quietly, and that's probably a good thing, but it doesn't get a lot of hobby attention.
Yeah, it might be interesting for a future play with Freeman if you can find him for a good enough price, because to me he is on a Hall of Fame trajectory right now. So it may take years after he retires where he gets on and he gets into the Hall of Fame and suddenly people realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm holding on to a Hall of Famer right now.
Right.
You know, that could be what finally pushes him, the ultimate long play for a guy like Freeman. But they have the best offense in baseball, I think, bar none. It's a really good lineup. They've had a lot of pitching injuries. Mike Soroka, who was their staff ace, out early in the season. They've had a sort of a patchwork rotation. Cole Hamels, I believe, who's a big acquisition, is out for the entire postseason. Would have been a huge asset to have. To me, there's just not enough starting pitching. And on the other side, you have an ultra-confident Cincinnati Reds team. You want to talk about confidence on the mound. Trevor Bauer just had a phenomenal final start to the season. He's got the swagger. He's got it all on the mound. And he's also got the most to earn this postseason. He's already going to get a big contract. But imagine if he has a huge postseason run, he is going to get all the money this offseason as a free agent. And then after him, you got to go through Luis Castillo and you got to go through Sonny Gray. That is not a 1-2-3 I would want to face. And to me, it's the reason why I like the Reds in this series.
Yeah, I mean, I can't discount that. I mean, I, you know, for the hobby, my hobby, what I'd like to see the Braves because of Ronald Acuna and all their young stars. But I do like the Reds. But I think at the end of the day, I think the Braves win.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I definitely see that one going three. And I think, too, it's the lineup for the Reds has finally caught up to the pitching. That's been the big issue all year. Guys like Nick Castellanos, who was a big offseason acquisition, these guys finally starting to put it all together. Mm-hmm. The two guys I think to watch are Braves. The other guys on the Braves, not Freeman, not Acuna, but Ozzy Albies and Dansby Swanson, two guys who Albies maybe more of an under the radar guy for years in the hobby, but Swanson for sure, a number one pick. Has been really up and down throughout his career, more ups than downs this season, but could be a guy that finally, if he can be the one to get that big hit, if maybe Freeman or Acuna or even Albies can't come through, that would be a big, big plus for this Braves team, not only for the series, but for the future here. Well, before we move on from the postseason, every year there does seem to be that breakout player. Last year, it was Juan Soto. And what made that, I think, especially unique is how young Juan Soto was. By the way, Juan Soto ends the year as, I believe, the youngest batting champion of all time. Crazy. So if you want to, there's going to be a point where we're going to say, who's better, him or Mike Trout? And you think I'm crazy saying that. Give it about 2 or 3 years. I really believe that. But Soto had an incredible postseason last year and became, other than Strasburg, the star of the playoffs. So my question to you, Doug, who do you think could be that next guy, not only in baseball, but that it reflects over to the hobby, that goes from a guy who a lot of people like him, a good, interesting young player, to maybe there's some plus side here, to absolutely one of the two or three most sought after players in baseball? Does anybody become that this postseason? If you're watching us, a few guys pictured there. The obvious choices: Fernando Tatis, Ronald Acuna, Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert. But then there might be some other guys to keep an eye on as well. Anybody catch your eye as that next guy to take that leap like Juan Soto did last year?
You know, and I know we picked the A's, but I mean, and it's just maybe the easy softball choice, but I think it's Luis Robert. I just think the likability of him is just, it's up there. I mean, that smile, you know, what he could do on the field, his violent swing, you know, and if they do somehow beat the A's and they're playing on house money, I mean, Dan picked the White Sox to win the World Series, so it's not out of the realm for that to happen. No. And I think that would cement his bid into baseball elite.
Yeah, that would definitely do it. I still think Luis Robert, especially what we saw of him this year, the raw talent is there. This guy is going to be very, very
probably going to need a few more years.
Exactly. But I think that if anybody on the White Sox, I think Eloy Jimenez might be the guy, 23 years old, where he could make that leap into superstardom, especially playing in Chicago. I could see that happening, although the injury concerns me a little bit.
And from a card perspective, his first one is on the Cubs, which is really a tough thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've got your crosstown rivals. So, I mean, especially if you're a White Sox fan trying to buy the card, you're like, do I really want a card of my guy on the Cubs who
That's rough.
Despise? So, but, I mean, he does have some rookie cards. He has some rookie autos that might pop more than his first Bowman.
See, if I was a White Sox fan, it would almost give me more incentive to get it because I could just laugh at it. Every time I see Eloy hit a home run, I'd be like, my Cubs fans' friends can't enjoy this like I am. That would make me giggle.
True.
Time,
you could look at it that way, too.
The guy I will be, I'll say, is a huge dark horse. A few other guys I would mention: Dustin May, who has had some really hot starts for the Los Angeles Dodgers. There always seems to be, that's the other thing, is there's always like maybe a hitter and a pitcher. There's always one guy each postseason. I could see that guy being that. Jesus Luzardo.
He's got the hair. He's got the pitching hair.
That's the other part of it, is that if he's really good and he's got that big carrot top hair, instantly people are going to say, who is this guy?
Right.
I like this guy. This guy's fun. I could see that becoming him becoming an instant hit with like regular baseball fans who are just kind of casually getting into it. Jesus Luzardo for the A's, I think, is an interesting play as well. Gavin Lux may get some at bats here in the postseason, and he was the top prospect in all of baseball by many measures going into the season. My big dark horse, though, is going to be Dylan Carlson of the St. Louis Cardinals, because, like I said, just when you think the Cardinals are out, they pull you back in, to paraphrase an old movie I once knew about. but the Cardinals are always that sneaky team, and Dylan Carlson is only here because there's nowhere for him to play. He was a minor leaguer who was probably going to be in AAA this year. He's 21 years old. He's got all the ability in the world. He was across the board a top 10 prospect by most lists, and it just would not shock me if a Cardinal, who nobody heard about before the season started, suddenly went on a tear.
Right.
All 2011. Mm-hmm. Michael, or no, it was 2013. Michael Wacha had that huge
NLCS
postseason.
MVP.
Yes, that huge postseason. David Fries, of course, in 2011. There's always a guy
History
on the Cardinals.
Itself. That's true.
Yeah, there's
That's
always
a, good,
a guy
strong
on the Cardinals.
Buy. I think his cards might be already a little, but not like they're not Robert or they're not, you know, there's still some room there.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's just below all those guys, Robert, Luck, some of the guys we're mentioning here. He's just below them. It just wouldn't shock me if suddenly we're at the end of October going, Dylan Carlson, and World Series MVP. Who would have thunk it?
Right.
It may be a long shot, but who knows? Finally, we're going to talk about the all-rookie team as we want to focus on the hobby as we say goodbye to some of these great rookies and a great rookie class here in 2020. It really was a good one. Some of the guys on the first team of rookies would be Alec Baum of the Philadelphia Phillies, Kyle Lewis, who may be your American League Rookie of the Year, the aforementioned Luis Robert. A lot of big names that you would expect. There's some interesting names that were not top prospects, guys like Jake Cronenworth, who may be the National League Rookie of the Year, but is already 26 years old. So unfortunately for us as collectors, not necessarily at the top of the list. But I've got an image here of like the four guys on that all pipeline or the MLB pipeline all rookie team that were in that top 25, top 30 prospect range and sort of seen as can't miss guys. Like I mentioned, Alec Baum, Kyle Lewis, Luis Robert, and Sixto Sanchez of the Miami Marlins. So, Doug, of those four guys, which one in 5 years are you like, this guy's going to be the best player in baseball, would love to have his card? And which of those guys are you thinking, this guy is a one-year wonder or won't be exactly what we expect him to be, won't live up to the hype?
You know, and I already mentioned Robert, but I'm going to go with Kyle Lewis here just because I've seen him play in person. And, I mean, the speed is incredible. And, you know, back then when I seen him in San Jose, he didn't quite have the power he has now. I think he's really a shoe-in for a five-tool player, and I think that organization is on the right track, which is also something to keep in mind. Jared Kelenic's, you know, about to come up. They've got Julio Rodriguez. They've got a really deep farm system that I can't see them failing. I could see them contending. And I think the one that's going to be a pretender is Sixto. He's a pitcher. He originally was on the Phillies, you know, got traded to the Marlins. And, you know, pitchers just don't seem to sell for the hobby. So my pick is going to be Kyle Lewis.
Yeah, especially if you're on a different team. And obviously, you know, unless you're a guy like Justin Verlander who can do it for 16 years at a high level, it's very, very tough to make that leap and become something a card you'd want forever and ever to hang on to. Yeah, I think of this group, Kyle Lewis really impressed me this year. Just kind of does everything. He had that catch where, I mean, when you're wearing a Mariners uniform and you're roaming center field and you make a catch like he did against the A's a few weeks ago, you have to think of Ken Griffey Jr. Look, we're not saying he's Ken Griffey Jr., but it was a really impressive moment and kind of gave you a glimpse into the future. And you're right, Mariners are building something there. It looked like this year there was momentum for the first time in a while. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just kind of like a fluky, you know, season where they got a winning record. There was real momentum of their building towards something here. I really like Alec Baum of the Philadelphia Phillies. I liked what I saw from him. Mm-hmm.
He's got the right name for home runs, too.
Yes, he does. Absolutely does. And playing alongside Bryce Harper is going to be pretty good, I would think, for him. That team, though, just I don't know what it is. They just cannot get the recipe quite right now. And I think there's going to, once again, be a lot of changes there in Philadelphia. But he is definitely part of the solution there. And, yeah, I like Sixto a little more, I think, than you do. I think he still might have – I think there's still a lot of room for him to improve. But also playing in Miami is always going to be a hindrance. I know Miami's a hot city right now for sports. It's good to be a Miami's fan. The Heat are in the finals. I think the U are doing pretty well right now. Maybe the Marlins make that leap. But until we see that, that's just going to be hard for him. And then lastly, two guys that I want to mention who are on that second – rookie team were Ke'Bryan Harris and Bobby Dalbec. Bobby Dalbec for the Red Sox. Again, the Red Sox kind of fell under the radar this year, which is not something we ever say about the Boston Red Sox. But Bobby Dalbec is a guy to keep an eye on. I think he had a streak of home runs that very few Red Sox players have ever done in their career. A guy that I think is someone to definitely hang on to. And then Ke'Bryan Harris was out with COVID early in the season. And if he had...
I believe it's Ke'Bryan Hayes.
Ke'Bryan Hayes. Excuse me. I keep saying Harris. Thank you.
It's very easy to see it that way, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I know. My mind says one thing, takes in another. Ke'Bryan Hayes, whose father was a major leaguer, by the way. And, boy, there is a wealth of guys like that in major leagues right now. And all of them seem to be pretty good. So he's following in the footsteps of those guys. He was out with COVID early in the season. And if he had a full season, I think we'd be talking about him a lot more. And, Doug, I was talking to you before we started. He's part of the 2015 Bowman class, first Bowman class, which if you're looking for a good play right now, he's in there. There's Mountcastle in one of those sets, I believe.
Yeah, it's actually all out of draft, yeah. Bowman draft, which actually came in three different formats. It came in hobby, jumbo, and super jumbo. And, yeah, it's a star-studded class, but it's guys that are, like, on the tipping point. There's not, like, a Judge or a Tatis. There's guys that are almost primed to be there. You've got Benintendi in there who's, you know, obviously won a World Series, but kind of – fell into oblivion this year. You've got Swanson. He's pictured on the Diamondbacks because he was the first overall pick. He's in there. You've got the aforementioned Ke'Bryan Hayes. You have, like you said, Mountcastle. You have Buehler. You have, I mean, Austin Riley. It's a pretty star-studded class, and those boxes are still pretty affordable. I think they made the most that year out of any of the last 10 years, so that might be why, but I think once demand goes up, supply is going to go down, and no doubt one of these guys is going to be a top player. And I just actually looked at Ke'Bryan Hayes' stats, and 376, five home runs for the season. I mean, granted, it was a small sample size, but, I mean, that's pretty dang good.
Yeah, I think that's a really good play. And, I mean, those names you listed, there's a lot of guys there that I think are future All-Stars, future Cy Young Award winners, who knows, maybe an MVP in that lot. A really good low play there. And for Dalbec, you're on the Red Sox. They're not going to be bad for a long time.
Exactly.
They're playing in Boston, and at the moment they can say, okay, we got this guy, we got Rafael Devers still, there's Xander Bogaerts here, Chris Sale was out this year, so he'll be back healthy next year. They could go from last to first, and it wouldn't shock me next
Absolutely.
Year with the right moves. That might be a very good play. Well, Doug, I think that's going to wrap it up because we got to get ready for the playoffs, man. There's too much baseball to watch. I cannot wait. Real quick, World Series pick, who you got?
You know what? I'm going to stick with the A's. As much as I want the White Sox it's kind of a win-win for me because I love watching the White Sox too, and I love the players on the White Sox, but I am changing my Giants hat to an A's hat, and I'm representing the A's.
I am going to go Cleveland makes it into the World Series for the American League, but falls to the Los Angeles Dodgers, as much as it pains me to say that. LA is just too good this year. Dodgers over Cleveland.
I think it's going to be, you know, like I said, you're going to have that Kirk Gibson, relive that Kirk Gibson moment with Dennis Eckersley, but I think they're going to get the revenge.
Boy, that'd be something. That would be something, and would be, that's the something's got to give series. Cleveland versus LA, one of them's got to win. Can't have a tie.
Right. Well,
we'll see. Maybe. It's been a weird year, so maybe that'll happen too. Until next week, we'll talk more postseason next week and some of the implications for card collectors of the performances we saw. Until then, make sure to subscribe to us here on Mojo Break Media. If you're watching us on YouTube, Mojo Break Card Shop as well, and of course, our main feed on Mojo Break and MojoBreak.com. For Doug, I'm Cody. We will talk to you next week on the Mojo Break Dugout Session.